Yes, indeed. 5 o'clock at the Southland. It is our tournament tip-off party. Shit out of a Cap Live from Yamaval Resort and Casino.
Yeah.
909 Sports Bar. Cappy and I just shared a sausage. It was a great moment.
It was.
What's the Disney movie? What's the Disney movie?
Lady and the Tramp.
It was.
Phrasing.
Laura, it was.
Right. I'm the lady.
Laura, am I the only one that feels like phrasing there?
No, I literally told Lindsay.
They brought out a meat platter for us.
Right.
I bet they did, huh?
And Chris and I both ate it at the same time.
I mean, you guys saying you shared a sausage.
Uh-huh.
All I'm saying is phrasing.
You know,
family show.
You know, shit.
And then the meat platter.
You can be a little bit more mature, shit.
Just saying phrasing.
It's time for what you need to know. Take it away, producer Lindsay.
Thanks, Christopher. Super excited.
Oh, you finally say hi to me an hour later.
See you, of all people.
There you go.
Well, guys, LA is getting its first ever bunny cafe. Coming to Woodland Hills for a limited time.
Oh, wait a minute.
I feel like you might want to take your daughter to this, Sedano.
Oh.
The Bunny Cafe is a place where customers can go and enjoy a nice cup of coffee, some food, some treats, all while hanging out with little bunnies, like real live bunny rabbits.
Mm. Oh.
Yep. Oh,
not
I thought it was a... Oh, yeah, same. I thought it was a Playboy bunnies.
Yeah.
No, like an actual rabbit. Well, you know, bunny rabbits.
One of our teammates...
She kind of gave it away when she said you could take your daughter there.
Well, then I was like, oh.
Yeah.
One of our teammates has a pet bunny. She has a pet bunny. Stephanie, Sam Pines' assistant.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like a hot pet these days.
Really?
A bunny? Yeah, it's like a new thing.
I'm out on
Instead
bunnies.
Of getting the dogs, the parents are getting the bunnies.
I mean, but the problem is it becomes a lot of bunnies.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
There's a reason they say like a rabbit. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be...
you just won't stop, huh?
I'm just being honest.
It's one of those segments, you know? The innuendo.
Like
maybe I should just cut it off here.
You get one rabbit and then BAM!
Multiple rabbits.
We had a lot of bunnies growing up.
Well, if you want more info on the Bunny Cafe, go to thebunny.cafe.
What part of the city you said?
It's in Woodland Hills.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Out in the valley. It's hot there. Woo!
It does get hot up there.
Don't go there in the summer.
But some of the best Italian subs out there. Many spots in Woodland Hills.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Love a nice
Cabarettas, Fricas, best subs you can have.
There you go.
I gotta tell you guys something, though. Like, I'm way out on bunnies, okay? And this whole thing sounds terrible to me. This whole idea of showing up at, like, some pet store to have coffee and coffee cakes and scones.
And just hang out with some bunnies?
Sounds horrible to me.
Yeah. And the bunnies, what if they have the little duties, though?
Those little,
they're pellets.
Yeah. Little pellet duties. Yeah. They look like little sausage.
Yeah.
Cappy, did you see the text I sent in the group chat? I think it was yesterday with The Rock. He came home from his whatever trip.
Oh, a guinea pig.
Yeah, like two or three guinea pigs.
Saw
and they're
that.
Hairless guinea pigs. They're so ugly.
Well, if you're going to get a guinea pig, you might as well be hairless.
He was not excited about it.
I would agree.
No.
So, you ever been in a restaurant where they have a big fish tank and they're like, hey, we can grab one of these lobsters out of here. And
take
it. Okay. I've been to a restaurant one time and they had rabbits. In little cages.
And they were going to make the rabbit for you. Right. Rabbit stew or something.
Italian delicacy.
Like, disgusting.
Rabbit. Yeah.
Disgusting. So, like, here's the rabbit in a cage, okay?
There's a lot of rabbits.
And then you...
Not like it's a scarce animal.
Where was this?
You go order this thing, right? Hey, I'm going to have rabbit, right? They go pull this rabbit out of this cage.
Yeah.
Go in the back.
Take it out.
Fresh.
Bam!
Yeah, fresh rabbit.
Yeah.
That's so morbid.
Disgusting.
That's nasty.
Well, you want it fresh.
That's still nasty.
Right. That's why I'm out on all this rabbit talk.
You don't want frozen rabbit.
You don't like lobster when they take it from the tank?
No, that's different.
Oh. Well, how is that different?
That's different.
It's different.
Just because it has claws and it's more menacing?
Yeah,
it's a crustacean.
Well,
yeah.
It's not like furry?
These are pets.
And cute?
Rabbits, yeah.
Well, you can have a pet lobster.
Yeah, people have pet lobsters.
I mean, if they had a lobster place where you just have aquariums and you sit down and you have a cup of coffee and a little, you know, like a lobster roll or something like that, not bad.
People have crabs as People have crabs as pets.
Jeez.
You know?
I mean, gosh, from rabbits to sausages to...
Crabs. Yeah.
A little pinch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That used to be a Cappy bit.
We haven't done that in a while, Cappy.
Little pinch.
You've been pinched a lot lately, too.
No,
All right, that is what you need to know. All right, we're here at Yamaha hanging out today. Thank you guys for coming out.
Yeah.
Appreciate
nice to see
you guys.
Everybody
Thank
here.
You so much.
Have you met everybody?
Casper Villa is here today, too.
Oh, where's Casper? I didn't see him right here.
Dude, Casper.
Crypto Ray.
Casper and Crypto have been practicing.
And then Tommy,
San Diego.
He's
Hello.
The man.
Yeah, Tommy. With the Chatlins t-shirt.
But I'm telling you right now, Crypto Ray and Casper Villa have taken the pickleball event
very seriously.
More seriously than Clinton took the softball event.
I mean, I don't know about that.
No,
I don't think that can be done,
to be
honest.
That's true.
No.
And they believe they're going to win this thing.
Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you also think we're going to win.
Right, but they're in the Travis and Sliwa bracket.
Oh,
what is their team name?
It's a winnable bracket.
Does anybody know their team name?
Hey, Casper, what's the name of your team, dude? Pickle juice.
So pickle juice.
Pickle juice and something.
Oh, they're the six seed, the pickle juice paddlers.
So who are they playing?
They're playing the Dill Duo.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
The Dill Duo.
All right, then.
But that bracket, of course, has Thick Van Exel, Travis Atsuliwa, two guys over 60, which is our
Dink,
friends.
Dink, D-I-N-K, Mitchell. Van Exel, yes.
Ron Mitchell, of course, from the sales side. And then Sexy Classy, which is my team.
Yeah. Matt but Burke. I thought you were out.
I'm out, and Nick Riley from our digital team is going to be in because I re-entered the finger practicing.
Ooh.
Now it's going the other direction.
Yeah.
And you don't want a finger
it's still purple.
Up. It is still purple.
Hey, Vay, look at that thing.
Yeah.
Chris, were you the sexy or the classy from that team?
I think I'm both. I'm a little bit of both.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, talk to me.
Boy, that guy. I mean, he, if I had to, like, prior to Patrick Mahomes, if I had to, like, create a quarterback from scratch, in his prime, it would have been Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
And I still would probably do that just based on his physical gifts in his prime. I don't think we've ever seen anything like him as far as just accuracy, mobility. Like, he was Steve Young in a better package, I thought, right? Bigger, stronger, better package.
And right-handed.
And right-handed, too. That's true.
Steve was lefty.
Correct. But.
Uh-oh.
You and I last year agreed on one thing about Aaron Rodgers.
Only one.
Well, that I can remember.
Okay.
That the Packers needed to get out of the business and sell high.
Yep.
Sell high off of two MVPs, back-to-back MVPs.
No doubt. Would have gotten out of the Aaron Rodgers business last offseason.
Yeah.
Because of all the Suris that he is creating inside of my locker room.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Suris, by the way, I just want to stop for a second here and just talk about Yiddish for a moment.
Yeah, feel free.
You know, Suris, like, you know, it's not a good feeling.
Right.
Like, it hurts almost, you know? He's creating a lot of Suris.
Okay.
That's what he created for the Green Bay Packers a year ago.
He did, and continues, even while saying he's going to play for another team, which is going to get me to my point. So, that last offseason, off two MVPs, what do you think you would have gotten for him?
Probably could have gotten a couple first-round draft choices.
At least two, right?
Yeah. Yep.
At least.
Couple
maybe even three from a desperate team, right? Now, what do you think is going to happen, considering he's already told everyone he's going to play for the Jets and they've just signed Alan Lazard?
Yeah. Well, I'll give you a comp. What did the Rams get for Jalen Ramsey?
A third-rounder.
Okay. So while the Packers might think they can hold the Jets hostage, they can't.
I mean, they could. They could just say, we'll take him back.
No, they can't.
I mean, they could.
In theory.
Yes.
But you also understand that if Aaron Rodgers goes back to the Packers now.
Another pizza?
Oh,
holy moly. Some sausage?
Oh, my God. George, I got out of round one. No egg rolls.
Yeah.
No fried mozzarella.
Yeah.
No fried raviolis.
Yeah.
No buffalo chicken wings.
Now the heavy stuff is coming.
Now they've brought out
the
pepperoni pizza and a meat lover's pizza. And I there's no chance. I cannot survive with two large pizzas in front of me and not eat all of these pizzas.
The meats are here.
I mean, there's no chance I cannot eat that.
Yeah.
Now, are you going to have some of that?
I'll probably have the pepperoni.
You know what we can do, Cappy? We can just take a slice and just eat the cheese and the meat.
Yeah.
Not the bread.
By the way, the turkey from the meat platter, the carved turkey, incredible.
Really?
Yeah. Some of the best turkey I've ever had.
Okay, delicious. I'll try some.
Yeah.
I'll try some.
Don't eat too much. You know, tryptophan.
Yeah. So, okay.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to fall asleep like sometimes other hosts do.
Like Ireland.
I wasn't going to say it.
Allegedly.
John and I had a good day today. So.
Allegedly.
Well, John Ireland earlier today when he said to Mason, he goes, you're wearing jeans now all the time on the show. And I said, how do you know? You know? And nobody caught them at all. Nobody. Yeah. Nothing. I got nothing from that.
No, John and I had a good day. We're good.
You did. Nice. All right, where were we? Aaron Rodgers.
So Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. So now the Jets are going to get nothing for him. The Jets are going to give up nothing for him,
right.
You said.
Listen.
The Packers are not going to get two first-round picks like they were going to get a year ago.
They may not get a first-round pick at all.
Right.
Because here's I'm the Jets.
You're the Jets.
I'm the Jets.
Okay.
You're the Packers.
Oh, I'm the Packers.
Okay. Hey, can you guys just make
this deal? So I'm Brian Gutekunst?
Yeah. Okay. And I'm...
Who's the Jets GM?
John Johnston.
No.
Steve Stevenson?
No.
Mike Michelson.
Damn it. Now I got to look this
okay.
up.
Okay. Will Williamson?
Jets GM.
Okay. All right.
Joe Douglas. You were kind of close.
I'm Joe
Douglas. It's a fairly,
Josephson.
Like.
Douglas?
Joe Douglas.
Douglas.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I'm Joe Douglas. Yeah. I'm the Jets.
It's a pretty Joe common name, you know?
Yes. Hey, dude, so can we just consummate this deal? Like, we all know it's happening. Let's just do a beautiful
thing. Yeah, sure. We need a first rounder.
No. We're not giving you a first rounder.
Okay, then two.
We're not giving you two.
Okay. Then we'll take him back.
Okay. Have fun.
All right, see ya.
Have fun.
Enjoy Zach. Enjoy Zach. What's that kid's name?
His name is Zach Wilson.
Yeah, that kid. Enjoy that kid.
You guys enjoy Aaron Rodgers.
Watch him tear down that entire organization. He's either going to come back and play for us or he's going to retire.
No.
So we'll be fine.
No.
So you enjoy Zach Wilson.
Nope, he's not going to retire.
Okay. Who are you going to get?
Oh, we have Zach Wilson. We're fine. Like, you have Jordan Love. You should be really happy about Zach Wilson.
Yeah. How'd that work out for you last year?
Hasn't worked out yet. How's Jordan Love doing for you?
We don't care. We're fine with where we're at.
That's right. You are fine where you're at.
Yeah.
And everybody knows it.
Yeah, but we don't have an impulsive owner. You do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys don't have an owner.
By the way, you don't think there's some irony that you're trying to trade for a guy that was, the biggest, he was ripping Big Pharma. Now he's going to sign with the team that's like the biggest Big Pharma team in the history of teams?
Hey, Big Pharma pays big money.
Okay.
Okay? And here's your problem.
Yeah.
You don't want to pay Aaron Rodgers $50 million.
I mean, we're already kind of going to take the hit no matter what here.
We're going to take that burden off your hands?
Not really, because we still have to pay. It still hurts us against our cap.
All I'm saying to you is this. Ain't nobody else taking on Aaron Rodgers at 38 years old and $50 million and all the stuff that he's created off the field. Either send him to us. Or don't.
Okay, we won't.
Okay.
First round is my last offer. Go have fun with Zach McBright or Wilson, whatever his name is. See you later. Click.
Hey, Zach Wilson has a very bright future, George. Very bright. I don't know if it's in football necessarily.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't know if it's with the Jets.
Yeah.
Or in the NFL for that matter.
Yeah.
But Zach Wilson, very bright future.
There you go.
You know what's happening right now in front of us?
Pizza.
This is so good.
It's being consumed.
Dude, thank you so much for coming and grabbing a couple of slices of that pizza.
Because that means one less hill
grab. The more you guys eat, the less I eat.
Yeah.
See, the more that's still here, I will take it all down.
Yeah.
All of it. You know?
Yeah.
Because I have no self-control.
Right. All right, coming up next, I know you want to get back to the Lakers.
Embarrassing.
Let's get back to the Lakers.
Shameful.
All right, we can get back to Aaron later. All right, we'll get back to the Lakers. The Lakers, they have put themselves between a rock and a hard place. We'll get to that next year. We're live at Yamaha.
Yeah,
hanging out.
Yamaha, let's go.
Until 7
the bar
o'clock.
Is open
Lots
now.
Of food.
That's right.
The beer is flowing.
The bar is open, baby.
The booze is here. The Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust are meeting up with the Chatlins. I mean, this is it's like a UN peace conference over here. I mean, that's what's happening here. All right, we're back in a minute.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quarter after 5 p.m. in the Southland, it is Shitano and Cap, our tournament tip-off party at Yamaha Resort and Casino. We are in the 909 Sports Bar. What a place. It's a feast all day long, Cappy.
Doesn't stop.
Eating the meats now.
I am eating the meats.
I'm having the turkey, like you said.
How moist and delicious is it?
That is the moistest turkey I've ever had.
It's incredible.
And by the way, everybody's coming by and eating the pizza.
Yeah.
So far, I've not touched the pizza. And it may be gone before I even get to it.
But I showed you how to do it, keto style.
Yeah,
you got to skin the pizza.
Yeah, just the meat and the cheese.
You eat the meat and cheese, and you're beautiful.
Yeah, I never do
that. The bar is open up. The party is going on. Come on down. Press the flesh with us if you're on your way home. Just take a break. Come here.
Yeah.
See Shitano and Cap in person.
Yeah.
See producer Lindsay. Even our boss, the great Amanda Brown's here. You want to be part of this party. It's going all night long. Thank you so much.
Wow.
Now the lettuce wrap burger.
See? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tony.
Lettuce wrap burger.
What service here? Be part of this Yamaha Resort and Casino. Back to you, Shitano.
Protein style.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to go protein style.
Yeah. So, Cappy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm finally really cleaning it up, George. So, all the pizza looks phenomenal, and I got to have like one piece, but I'm trying to clean it up.
Take the smallest one.
I'm looking at the small one over there with the little sausage and pepperoni.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at a very small slice.
Yeah. So let's get back to the Lakers.
Yeah.
because they've now put themselves truly behind the eight ball here, okay? And if you look at the Western Conference standings right now, they are in the 10th spot at the moment.
That's right.
And so basically hanging on by the skin of their chinny-chin-chin, as a famous writer wrote.
Who wrote that? I don't know who that famous
one of these,
wrote.
Like, children's book people. Okay. So, anyway, and they're only a half a game in front of Utah and a half a game in front of New Orleans. And they own the tiebreaker against New Orleans, but not against Utah. Mm-hmm. Utah is desperately trying not to get in the play-in. Like, yes, they have Laurie Markkanen, and they got him as an all-star. Their season is done. That's what they want, right? They showed that they got a good coach and some good young players, and, you know, they're good. Now they'd like to be in the lottery. But the Lakers are making this very hard for them. I know that there is a rivalry with Danny Ainge, who's a former Celtic, but this should not be the rivalry we should be talking about, about trying to get him in the play-in and not the Lakers. Everyone talks about this Lakers schedule, and what I tried to tell you back then, when everyone was like, oh, you look at the last 16 games, they're going to go 11-5 or 12-4. I'm like,
Well, don't forget, there were 23 games remaining, and I told you 19-4.
Right, that's not happening.
No, I think they've probably lost those four games already.
When did they make the trade? The trade deadline was February 9th. Yeah, they have lost four games since then. Yeah, look, I just think that whatever you think the schedule says, don't try to predict it in the NBA. It's like everyone talks about the NFL being a hard game to handicap.
Yep.
The NBA on a nightly basis? Now, you could tell me at the beginning of the season, I could have told you if Milwaukee's healthy, they're going to be the best team in the East, right? I could have told you that you know, back in August. But on a nightly basis, could I tell you if Milwaukee would lose to, I don't know, Indiana? Of course not. I don't know, because crazy crap happens over 82 games. So this notion that, oh, the schedule looks easy. Yeah, whatever looks easy to you isn't always easy as you think it is.
Right, but here's the thing. Houston's a bad team.
They are.
They're a team that hasn't even won 20 games so far this season.
They want Wemby.
Okay.
We want Wemby.
Great.
Triple W.
Get him. Well, guess what? You're hurting
Bergman's
your chances.
Bergman's out on Wemby.
Yeah, well, I understand why. I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
You're out on Wemby, too?
I mean, I don't really know that much about him other than the video I've seen, but I'm out on, like, guys that are ridiculously overly tall, like 7'6". I'm not into that.
7'4".
I'm not into that either.
Okay.
Too tall, too skinny.
What are you into?
I mean, like, what's that guy's name that was drafted last year by Oklahoma City out of Gonzaga? What's that kid's name? Tall, skinny, white guy.
Oh, got hurt. Chet Holmgren.
Yeah, like, I'm out on
that
guy.
Yeah, but Wemby's way better than that guy.
I'm not saying he's not better. I'm just saying this guy's too tall, too skinny. He's going to get hurt
tall.
All the time. That's right.
In basketball?
Yeah. Too tall. Body can't handle it. See, like Anthony Davis, that body, you look at it and you're like, that body should be able to handle it. Shaquille O'Neal's body could handle it.
Right.
You know, Giannis's body. Joel Embiid.
Yeah, but Giannis
in some ways
looked like that when he was younger.
Look.
Anyway, go ahead. The Lakers.
All I'm saying is
here's what they got left, just so you know.
Yeah.
Dallas fighting for their lives. Orlando, who just beat Boston, who beat Boston twice already this season. Phoenix. Now, in theory, there should be no Kevin Durant, but there's still no, you know, there's still
even without Kevin Durant, they're
still
good. Yeah.
Right. Oklahoma City, who's owned them.
Yeah.
Right. Chicago fighting for their lives to stay in the play-in. Back-to-back with Chicago. Back-to-backs are hard.
And didn't Patrick Beverley say, like, his whole goal was to try and knock the Lakers out when he got traded to Chicago?
Yeah, and then he'll put it on his podcast.
Yeah.
Right. So
he'd already done as much as he could to keep the Lakers
Minnesota,
out of the playoffs for the first 50 games.
At Houston, again. And then you got at Utah, at the Clippers. That's not as easy a schedule as everybody thinks it is.
Why does everybody think it's easy? Why would anybody think anything is easy with this Lakers team?
Of course, because they haven't been 500 since January 27th of 2022. Nothing should be taken for granted.
No, but here's the thing. Had they won last night, just looking at the standings,
yes.
they're in 10th place right now. Mm-hmm. Had they won last night based on everything else that happened, I don't know if you can do the math this fast.
I can.
Where would they be had they won last night, given everything that happened in the NBA last night? Where would they be?
They would be in the 8th spot.
Okay. Today they're in the 10. Had they won last night against lowly Houston, they'd be in the 8. So is somebody sitting in the front office going, don't worry about it. We're the Lakers.
Yeah.
We're still going to win the championship this year. Yeah, but guys, right now we're in the 10th spot. We may not even make it to the play-in. Oh, don't worry about it. We're the Lakers. We're still going to win the championship.
I don't think anybody's doing that.
Oh, okay, because usually people do that.
Yeah, know? No, I don't think people are doing
okay.
that. Okay. Yeah.
Because let me tell you something, George. Last night, organizationally speaking,
yes,
the whole organization, owner, General Manager, COO, CMO, Chief Medical Officer, and everybody else who's involved in the decision to sit Anthony Davis.
The Redcoats, too?
I don't know about those guys.
I was just going to say, be careful with them. Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody responsible for the decision to keep Anthony Davis out last night.
Okay.
Shame on all you guys.
Shame.
Shame. Shame. Walk in between Crypto.com and LA Live,
yeah,
and we'll all just throw stuff at you. Like,
walk
shame.
Down Figueroa.
Shame.
In front of Chick Hearn and Figueroa. Well, cross to Figueroa, then swing around Olympic.
Let me ask everybody who's a Laker executive who's tuning in this afternoon.
Yes.
And is not happy with what they're hearing.
What are they hearing?
Let me ask you guys something.
Yeah.
You think you needed to win that game last night?
Of course they did.
You think you could have won it without Anthony Davis?
I mean, clearly they did think that.
Do you think it would have been an easier win with Anthony Davis?
Probably.
Do you think Anthony Davis is feeling good? Because he says he's feeling great.
Says.
Do you think Anthony Davis is as healthy right now as he has been all season?
Anthony Davis got a PhD.
Listen, all I'm telling you is this. You're not good enough.
No, I get
to
that.
To sit your best
I agree.
Player.
I get it. I get the conundrum, bro. I get it. But you either are... You either are going to hit or stand on a soft 17 every time you're playing blackjack. You either gonna that's it. That's what you're gonna do.
Well,
every time you're gonna play one way or play the other. If you start playing both ways, then that's where you end up losing all your money.
You know what? Sometimes you gotta let your gut dictate and you gotta let the circumstances dictate. And if we're going into the last part of the season and our philosophy is we don't play Anthony Davis on the second night of back-to-backs. Mm. Okay? That's fine.
Yeah.
That's the decision.
Organizational philosophy.
However,
yeah,
let's think about where we are,
uh-huh,
how many games we have remaining,
right,
how he's playing,
yeah,
how he's feeling,
yeah,
who we're playing against.
Yeah.
Let's consider all of those things on a night-by-night basis. Because here's the thing, George.
Yeah.
Had they played against New Orleans,
yeah,
and won by one and,
yeah,
gone to double overtime and,
yeah,
Anthony Davis played 45 minutes,
yeah,
I would have no issue if you said, hey, we got to sit him the next night.
Yeah.
But in this case, they blew out New Orleans.
Right.
He played 33 minutes in
probably
the game.
Probably should not have played that much.
And the point is that they could have rested him in the second half,
yeah,
and he could have been ready to play yesterday.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is this. You don't have to be so stringent with your script.
You don't. Well, I agree with that. You could have, like, I think that there's a way to load manage while playing games. But that is a philosophy that needs to happen throughout the season. That's not a philosophy that can happen from one game to the next.
Well, you know what? Again.
Yeah, I did that snap. Thing
it was very nice.
You like that?
The one thing I'm saying is this. You got to think about who you're playing. You got to think about how he's feeling.
Right.
You got to think about where you are in the standings.
Yeah.
You got to think about how many more games are left.
Right.
All of these things are considered, and then, yeah, you go like this. You go, you know what? We're flexible enough.
Yeah.
We changed our minds. AD, get out there, and AD goes, thank you for letting me play.
Okay.
You humiliated me by sitting. Was Charles Barkley going to call me street clothes again when I'm healthy and I can play? It's embarrassing for this kid.
It's not good for him. I do get that.
So I was just talking, first of all, the burger, the burger is amazing.
Oh, you already had it.
The meat is such high quality. It tastes amazing when you get it in your mouth. It's awesome.
Delish.
Eric Sanders, great listener from Marina Del Rey, came on out to see us.
Hey, Eric Sanders.
Eric.
He's been listening to the station a long time.
My man.
And he told me, he said, you know, Cappy, what do you think of Cappy? He asked me. I said, yeah, well, he's my guy.
Yeah.
Because I was listening to him at night, back when he had the night show, the, yeah, Scott Kaplan Experience.
Yeah. Right. Cappy at Sunset.
Cappy at Sunset. And, yeah, I said, well, did you like, yeah, him? He goes, not really.
Yeah.
He says, you know, he's like the drunk uncle.
You are like a drunk uncle.
And he said he's got to grow on you. I go,
wait,
yeah,
till we actually have drinks.
What's the deal? Have
I think
we grown?
He's a fan of yours now.
Have we grown on?
Yeah, but he said
okay, we've grown.
Like a fungus.
We've evolved.
Yeah.
Right.
Like we've a fungus. Yeah. It grows on you like,
yeah,
a fungus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
True.
Yeah,
well, you
true.
Know the night show wasn't great.
Actually, the night show was great because nobody was
now,
listening.
Now, was it better than Slee at Sunset?
Here's the. You can't compare those. That's not fair. I see what you're trying to bait me.
I'm not trying to do anything. I'm asking
Slee
a legit question.
Show was during the pandemic.
No, it was before the pandemic.
No,
it was in the middle of the
pandemic.
No,
the original Slee at Sunset was before the pandemic because I remember that he would go in studio and talk to Mason in Ireland, and they would say things to him, and he was not thrilled about
Lindsay
it.
But Lindsay was producing Mason Ireland then. Most of that show was during the pandemic.
Yes.
Yeah, and that
but the beginning was not.
August 2020, okay. Night show, right here. You're looking at him.
August 2020. That's pandemic.
Night show, middle of the pandemic.
Yeah.
I don't think it really developed into Slee at Sunset until the pandemic happened.
Yeah.
Because it was just the Sleela show, you know?
Yeah. So, I, you know.
But you didn't think it was
funny?
Listen,
I think Slee's come a long way. You guys give Slee too much
No, I give him tons of credit. He's my guy. Yeah. I spent a lot of time the other night talking to him.
You didn't think it was funny, like when my comedian buddies
Slee
would show up?
Slee and I went to Tin Roof Bistro together.
I haven't taken him to TRB.
TRB.
But, like, all my comedian buddies would just walk into my house. They'd be all baked out of their faces, and then they'd come sit on the radio and talk
sports.
I mean,
that's great radio.
You didn't think that was good?
I mean, I suggest Mason should do that every day, to be honest.
The good news was,
he's better when he does it. I've heard it on his podcast.
I mean, JT the Brick used to call Sinano and I, our famous L.A. sports radio guy, and say, why doesn't Cappy bang phone calls at night? And we were like, yeah, why isn't he banging calls?
I should have banged calls.
Yeah.
Bang,
get people on to just talk about sports, man.
Yeah.
Just hardcore sports.
Yeah. That's what I'm all about.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we're all about. No,
here.
That's what people know me for.
Yeah. Hey, all right. Coming up next, the award-winning Radio Tinder here live from Yamava. We are hanging out till 7 o'clock.
See, the beer has started to flow, George.
No question. Yeah.
The bar is open, and now we're getting people kind of riled up.
The Mishmuk is feeling themselves.
Yeah. I see some tequila over there. I may have that later, actually. I've got an eye on it. So we'll get to that in 90 minutes, maybe a little sooner if we can sneak one in.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, coming up next, the award-winning Radio Tinder is next.
It is Sedano and Cap. We're broadcasting live from Yamava Resort Casino, the 909 Sports Bar, our tournament tip-off party. I hear Laura playing the Muppet Show. I don't know why, which is fine, because it's any time is a great time to play the Muppet Show.
And it's
a
TV theme on Radio Tinder.
In 1981, Laura, was the last episode of The Muppet Show.
Yeah, the original Muppet Show.
Yep.
Beautiful. Thank you. I love that theme. Before we get to Radio Tinder, though,
Cappy
has now got
a slice. Who doesn't love The Muppets?
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Cappy's got a slice.
I mean, Statler and Waldorf. It's Mason and Ireland every day.
I was trying to transition before you did that one.
I mean,
they're sensitive about that specific
thing. Statler and Waldorf?
Yeah.
I'm sort of feelings, man.
I think I'm like the Kermit of the group.
Why would they be sensitive about that?
Remember when I worked on their show and you told me I wasn't allowed to refer to them as that? I wasn't allowed to use...
Oh, really? You should have never said that.
No, Morales told me that.
Should have never said that.
I told you they were sensitive about it.
I mean, just
he's
now,
like,
though.
Don't go there. We're not allowed to go there.
Kaplan's got a slice of pizza on his plate. He's not going to skin it to avoid the car.
So is Mason punching his radio right now?
Much like Conway and Twitty had a song that says, I see the want to in your eyes. I see the want to in your eyes, Cappy, to eat those carbs.
Okay, so I have the smallest slice of pizza.
But it's still carbohydrate.
On the entire pizza.
There's probably 100 grams of carbs in that slice of pizza.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
So not in that little thing.
You want me to skin the pizza?
You skin it from the top.
Skin it.
You skin it. You get the cheese and the topping.
And the meat.
Skin it.
There you go.
And then you roll that up.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
You roll it up. Roll it up.
Yeah.
Okay, skin it. Hold on.
I've skinned the pie.
Yeah.
Now just roll it up and eat it.
You roll it up. You just put it in your hand.
All right, here goes.
Oh, no, you didn't roll it up all at once. You're gutless. You're gutless, Cappy. Anyway, Radio Tinder time. You can follow her at Lindsay Baseball on Twitter or Instagram. Don't forget about our sponsor, Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala. Take it away, producer Lindsay.
Oops, my helmet. I turned my mic on.
Boy,
thanks,
wow.
Christopher. Sorry. Dropping the ball left and right
here. See, how is that, Cappy, when you roll it up like that? Bam!
It's phenomenal.
Oh, phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Shocking. Shocking. I don't have the pleasure of holding it and eating the bread, but I'm getting all the flavor that I want.
I'm going to sit down for
amazing.
A minute.
Amazing.
Next thing we know, you're going to be eating pizza with a fork. Oh, you are eating it with a fork.
Yeah, you should just roll it up in your hands.
Be a man.
Take it away, producer.
Thanks, Christopher. So, bad news for the Mets, who will now spend the 2023 season without their star closer. Edwin Diaz reportedly tore the patellar tendon in his right knee while celebrating Puerto Rico's World Baseball Classic win.
Did you see this? Of course I saw it. Insane, dude. Awful. So bad. It reminded me when Cody Bellinger, remember when he celebrated that home run and he separated his shoulder doing the forearm thing?
Didn't he? Kendry Morales?
I mean, this is way worse than Cody's. But
how about when Martin Gramatica kicked a field goal, jumped up in
and
the air.
Ripped his Achilles.
Yeah. Right. Oh, that's rough.
Yeah.
Well, obviously he's going to need surgery to repair this patellar tendon. And a lot of people are starting to get upset with World Baseball Classic, saying that the owners of the MLB team should be able to take action against the World Baseball Classic.
Oh, come on.
Should they be able to? Swipe left or swipe right? Cappy.
I'm going to swipe left. Hey, look, you could be at spring training, and you could get hit in the face with a pitch.
Right.
You could be at spring training and be running from second to third base and blow out your knee.
Yes.
Do any of these things sound familiar to everybody?
Yeah, it happens every day.
Right, and it happened this year. Dodgers lost their shortstop as a result, and the former Dodger third baseman got hit in the face because he's playing with Boston now. Not that's why, but my point is, you put these guys on the field, things like this might happen.
I mean, look what happened to you last year before the softball.
Well, that was an illegal bat.
And it was an unsanctioned practice.
Correct. And exit velocity of 350 miles an hour.
Unsanctioned. That's why.
Yeah. It was unsanctioned, much like the World Baseball Classic.
The World Baseball Classic. First of all, let me tell you something. Baseball could learn a – I'll swipe left too, by the way. Baseball could learn a thing or two or 27, actually, about how to actually market the game by watching the World Baseball Classic. First of all, the atmosphere at every World Baseball Classic game is exactly what every atmosphere in every baseball game in Major League Baseball should be, not this, like, church atmosphere that they have at most of these games.
But you can't build that, you know what I mean? Like, it's a World Cup kind of crowd. You know, the Dominican fans, the Venezuelan fans, the Puerto Rican fans, and by the way, the really crazy Israeli fans. Those guys are out of their minds.
You could find ways to make that happen. Nonetheless, the dude was celebrating. Lindsay brought up, you know, we brought up Cody Bellinger. She brought up Kendrys Morales when he was with the Angels. Like, crazy stuff like that happens all the time.
Yeah, I mean, to blame it on the World Baseball Classic. Look, hey, if you're a Dodger fan and Clayton Kershaw wanted to go play, frankly, you should be happy that he didn't because you don't want to take a chance of getting him hurt
and
something like that.
Insure him.
Same thing with Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
You didn't want him to play in the All-Star game because you don't want to take a risk of him getting hurt on something like that.
Yeah.
You don't want your players to get hurt, but there is that risk.
Yeah. Always.
Even if he's celebrating.
Always. All right, what's next, Lindsay?
All right, so everyone who went to the Oscars this year and got those really fancy swag bags are actually going to end up costing them a lot of money.
Oh, they got to pay taxes on it?
Yep, exactly. So this year's swag bags were valued at around $120,000. And with all the different taxes and fees and things that entertainers have to pay on
them, they got
to
pay like probably $50,000 on it.
Yeah, it's about $60,000.
Yep.
Damn.
So...
Well, it depends on what tax bracket.
Well, yeah, I mean, right. Come on, they're not going to pay taxes on it. They're going to get out of it.
You're going to put it on the LLC.
Sure.
Yeah.
However,
loan out.
Easy.
Yeah. If you guys, you know, you guys are stars. If you guys went to like the Oscars, let's say you were invited to the Oscars.
Notice
you got one of these.
Nobody stopped her from saying like we're not stars.
No, you're all stars, but you're not. You know,
superstars.
You're not. You know, whoever won the Oscar, Brendan Fraser, whatever. Know. You know, you guys are stars.
You want to go to the ESPYs, Cappy?
Yeah, let's go.
If you went to the ESPYs and you got a
You would totally want to go.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know he would go.
I'd work red carpet and be like, yo, what up? I'm in the house.
We used to do the red carpet show. Yeah.
We did. We did the red carpet.
Yeah,
the last year we did it. You and I and Key and LZ did it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do the red carpet show. I want to be walking down
the red carpet. But you could also go to the show after.
Yeah, you could go to the show.
You could do the red carpet at the Mandy's.
Okay.
Like you did last year.
All right, so you were saying.
You would seriously want to go to the ESPYs?
I've never been.
I want to go to the ESPYs.
Have you?
Let's go as a show.
Once.
And so you're not going anymore. You did it one time.
You kind of do it once. I would go if you want to go. If you want to go, I can ask to get tickets.
Okay, hold on. Not only do I want to go, but if anybody at ESPN has a half an ounce of class, just a half an ounce.
Oh, my God.
We should be presenting something.
No, stop.
Come on.
The presenters are all athletes.
No.
You're presenting at the Mandy's.
Hey, coming up. Hey, now here to present the Arthur Ashe Award from ESPN Los Angeles. It's George Sedano and Scott Kaplan.
No, definitely not.
The Arthur Ashe Award of all
See, this is why we can't go.
Bing, bada, boom.
And then Jimmy Pitaro would be like, who are these guys?
Yeah. No, well, he knows you.
He does. Yeah.
He would be like, who's that other guy?
Who's that guy?
Cappy, be honest. Do you think that you should get the Lifetime Achievement Award?
The Arthur Ashe Award?
No. There's like a whole other level for
deal?
You.
Yeah. I don't know.
So anyway,
So if you guys are being regular people, if you got one of these swag bags for $126,000, would you take it, knowing you had to pay all those taxes on it?
But you could probably sell some of this stuff and just pay off the taxes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I know you're saying all those taxes. Okay. That's probably in federal and state. That's going to come out to.
It's about $60,000.
No, it also depends.
On, $60,000.
But it also depends on what your other tax liabilities are. So you can make that.
I mean,
you
we're
can
really getting
that.
All right,
I was
it's tax
say.
Season, so we've spent a lot of time
with
our accountant.
You're right.
So, okay, if you're worth especially that much money, that you're getting a gift bag or this.
Right. It probably is not the $50,000. You could probably write it off of something else.
Yeah, you're not going to take the tax hit.
Yeah,
you're going to be able to. We're sorry to blow up the radio
By the way,
a bit, but
the swag bag was stupid anyway. Did you see? It was like, hey, you get a piece of land in Australia. You know, you get like a 12 by 12 inch.
Well, wait. Somebody gave you a piece of land, Australia.
Yeah,
you
build a mansion. I would take that.
You spend the whole show talking about it.
That's right.
And you'd be saying, "Hey, what up, mate?"
So, I'd
say cool things like shrimp on the Bobby.
Yeah, let's put a shrimp on the Bobby.
Yeah, say all those cool things.
We should do a remote in Australia just to see how quickly you would try to.
You'd get a
speak.
Pet kangaroo at the house.
Yeah. Wouldn't take long.
Yeah.
I challenge you to do the whole rest of the show.
By the way, do you think you could
accent?
Do? You think you could go and coach to Australia? It's like a 14-hour flight.
Yes, I could fly and coach to Australia.
Why would you want to?
I wouldn't want to, but I could.
All right.
No thanks, bro.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, last one here. A Chicago man is suing Buffalo Wild Wings over their boneless wings, saying that they're just chicken nuggets. He said they're guilty of false and deceptive marketing and advertising and said that the name of the product should be changed or the content, which is chicken breast meat, should be disclosed on the menu. This guy is demanding a bunch of money for damages, attorneys, et cetera, et cetera. Have you guys ever wanted to sue or been sued for something stupid like this?
I've never been sued for that, but I have never wanted to sue for something stupid like that because it's stupid. I mean, that's pretty simple. I don't know.
That literally sounds like an old bit like on the Phil Hendry show for people that remember the Phil Hendry show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That sounds like something that would be a bit on that show.
Yeah.
Like completely made up just to get people to rile up.
But no, but that's a real thing. And
I love Phil Hendry.
I mean,
legend.
Listen, here's what I would say. There's a lot of, like, I'm trying to think. Like, all right, so ESPN is called the worldwide leader in sports, okay? Let's just say for one reason or another, not that this is clearly happening, but let's just say for argument's sake, some other company in the world has a larger, like, footprint in sports somewhere else, not even in the United States. It'd be somewhere else. Do they get to sue ESPN because they have the moniker worldwide leader in sports? Like, that's just stupid. Like, who cares?
Well, you could make the argument about the WWE, WWF.
Well, but I think that was also different. I don't remember the exact details of that, but they were both. I think it boiled down to who was WWF first.
Lawsuits and taxes, only here on Radio Tinder.
There you go.
Speaking of the WWF, it is National Panda Day.
Oh.
Really? Look at that.
I love a good panda.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. You like some bamboo?
Well, it depends on how it's served.
Yeah. Pat Riley once told me Jamal Wilkes' jumper is silky smooth like a snowflake coming off a bamboo leaf.
Is that really what he said?
Look at Cappy's eyes.
Is that really what he said?
Literally said that to me. I'm not even joking.
I'm starting to tear up.
Literally said those words
to me. The philosophy of Riley.
He loved Jamal Wilkes.
Well, you know, Sedano's close with Riles.
Very close.
Very close.
Very, very close.
I have to see Coach eventually. I see him during the playoffs.
Oh, that'd be nice.
I don't even remember what the Radio Tinder one was about, to be honest, at this point.
It was about...
You usually don't by the time we're done.
Yeah.
It's okay. We're done.
That's what makes the segment award-winning.
And it's presented by our friends at Tequila Mandala.
We're going to have some here tonight.
Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala. Award-winning small batch premium sippy tequila made from the finest mature agaves. Not those immature agaves. Available wherever fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com. Demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. Hey, you know who's coming up next, Cappy?
Tell me.
Our guy, Balake.
Balake Harris.
Some Dodgers. You know what? We'll ask him. We'll have Lindsay ask him about that World Baseball Classic stuff. All right? So we'll do that with Balake. Get in on the Dodgers. If James Outman is not in on the 40-man, forget the 40-man, the 25-man roster, it will be an outrage.
That's an outrage.
Okay.
Should be the starter on opening day, no doubt about it.
All right, let's get into all that coming up. And Miguel Vargas also getting some PT at second base. All that with Balake next.
And it is Sedano and Cap. We are live from Yamaha Resort and Casino, the tournament tip-off party, the 909 Sports Bar, the UCLA legend Baron Davis about to... BD and I worked together at Yahoo Sports many years ago. Yeah, good to see you, my man. He's going to join Sedano and Cap right now. We got signed autographs to give away. Sedano, take it away.
Thank you, Christopher. B. Diddy, good to see you, man. Thank you for hanging out with us here. Now, obviously, today is one of the most fun days on the calendar. What goes through your mind on a day like today?
Upsets.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
I've seen a couple.
It's crazy. Yeah. Goodbye, Arizona.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Go Bruins.
Stick it to them.
Go Princeton.
Bruins.
Yeah.
Go Princeton. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not my school, but yeah. I mean, I was happy they beat it.
I would say, like, the storyline, right? Because for a lot of us, you don't get to see a lot of these smaller schools. They don't get the ESPN coverage. They don't get the ESPN highlights. You're not following the players. They don't get NIL deals.
Right.
It's just somebody somewhere is practicing and waiting for you.
Yeah.
That's funny because you were telling me the story earlier that two of these kids on some of these small schools literally are playing like Little League with your son.
Dude, I got a kid at Vermont and I got a kid on the Princeton team.
Yeah.
And these guys, they weren't going to UCLA. They weren't going to Kansas. They weren't getting recruited by Duke. And they're living the NCAA tournament dream.
Absolutely.
Because you're like, when you were playing, even though you only played 2 years of college basketball, I mean, you still, I think, when you showed up at UCLA, it was still about trying to win a national championship.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Whereas so many guys now, it's like, boom, I got to get in and get out.
Yeah, it's a different mentality, a different philosophy now. You know, the kids who are playing at the Vermonts and the Princetons, they're not only happy to be in the tournament, but they have nothing to lose.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so a lot of times, like, now colleges, we were talking about this, is do you recruit five freshmen that all think that they're one and done?
Right.
Right? Because three of them are probably, like, three-year players.
Right.
But you still have to take the whole year to coach these kids to make them realize that, hey, you're not a one and done. Then you have to convince them they're not a two and done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's tough.
And at that point, they'll be transferring.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I look at the tournament and you see, you know, Duke as a five seed, you see Alabama now as a two seed, you kind of see how this whole NIL thing is starting to play out.
Yeah.
Right. And so what I think is it builds a lot of, like, it's going to be upsets.
Yeah.
A lot of parity.
Yeah.
Because now a superstar kid can stay home and, you know, sign a deal with, the air conditioner company
right.
or a laundromat company
yeah.
and now have enough money to, like, be that guy yep. for that team.
Yeah. And look, I think it's great because for a long time, you know, obviously in the college game, it was basically free labor. You know what I
yeah.
mean? All these schools are banking big cash, particularly yep. for the big programs, football and basketball. And the kids were not getting it. I get that they got an education. I understand there's a value to that, but not in comparison to the big to money the, that
yeah,
was being
for
made,
sure.
particularly on television. You know, when you think back to those days, like let's say NIL was around back then. and by the way, shout out.
I would be here if I was if NIL existed.
Yeah.
I would have a room here on the weekend.
Yeah, for sure,
absolutely.
I mean, but by the way, shout out to the O'Bannons, right? Like
yeah.
this was their baby,
UCLA.
Yeah,
not SC, man. And, you know, we always just SC.
Yeah,
but shout out to Ed O'Bannon.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when you think about the history of UCLA and you think about the history of UCLA basketball
sure.
players, there's always some opinion, some thought, some challenge, some, you know, protest, right, that all of the great UCLA players have always kind of, like, fought counterculture.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Dating back to Walton, of course.
Yeah.
Dating back to Walton
yep.
and Kareem.
Yep.
And so we've always had this, you know, this angle of trying to see clarity, you know what I mean, or what is justifiable or justice.
Yeah.
And Ed O'Bannon, it happened at on a video game.
Right. A video game
so
that was
all of this happened from a video game that was past his due date.
Right. And super popular, by the
super
way, that
popular.
Video game.
It was yeah. one of the best video games
yeah.
ever.
Yeah.
And they can't bring it
right.
back.
Yeah. Yeah. The football or the basketball.
Right.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, when you think about somebody like that, he looked up one day and said, all right, enough is enough.
Yeah.
Because, yes, you're marketing our jersey. Yes, you're selling tickets to the game. But now EA Sports gets to sell 5 million copies of a game that we there's no collecting
right.
bargaining.
Yeah.
There's no employee pool. It's different with the NFL.
Yeah.
It's different with the NBA.
Yeah.
Right?
Licensing.
You get a licensing
yeah.
deal.
Yeah.
So, like, you're basically licensing my rights, right, as a student athlete to make a profit off of a game
and I get
that – I do not own or control or right. play. I play basketball. I'm here as a student athlete. That makes sense. I'm not here for marketing and licensing deals yeah. on behalf of the university.
So, speaking of marketing and licensing deals, I notice you're wearing your own brand here today.
I love it.
Black
yeah.
Santa.
Diddy Claus.
Okay.
Diddy Claus.
And just as an entrepreneur, I already got an idea for you,
okay.
which is we're going to add to Black Santa. Let's do Jewish Santa, too.
Absolutely.
And then I'll rock that jacket. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, and then the red hat becomes the yarmulke. I'm just coming up with ideas.
No, he has a partner. It's the Mensch on the bench.
Ah,
oh, there
Mensch
we go.
On the bench.
Yeah,
you're right. Mensch on the
yeah,
bench.
Yeah.
That's right. So tell us about your own deal here.
Yeah, so I trademarked Black Santa,
yeah.
blacksanta.com, and then I trademarked the League of Santas. And the thought was, you know, take the, you know, a joyful holiday where everybody's in a good mood, everybody's in good spirit, and, like, what are we missing? We're missing more heroes and characters that represent us as a world, as a community. And so Black Santa was created to kind of erase the stigmatism of how our kids are looking at black men, right, and how society paints a picture of black men. So if you've seeing a black, jolly, gift-giving, friendly, magical dude who brings you joy, like, point him out in real life, you know, because we haven't seen that portrayed in our media. So by having a black Santa Claus, now my kids, his, you know, his cohort of diverse kids, they get to look at him and get to look at a character and a figure and be like, oh, okay, that is what the embodiment of a black man represents. That's the embodiment of, you know, what a Latino man and, you know, what the culture of, you know, multiculturalism means. And so League of Santas gives us the opportunity to form our own League of Santas that represent the culture, right?
Yeah.
The culture and unlocking the culture and the storytellers and everybody's, you know, pastime, right? And a part of their legacy.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You had events certainly tied to this in the holidays as well, right?
Yeah. So we did an event this past summer at Hollywood Park. Hollywood Park in L.A.
In Inglewood, yeah.
Yeah. And we did a basketball game. We had a big block party for a lot of small businesses. So it was cool because we got to bring people in. 3,000 or 4,000 people showed up. And, you know, vendors, you know, small vendors. So it gave us a chance to, like, bring the community together.
Sure.
And so I always figure if I can use this character to make people happy, to bring the community together, to get, you know, the rich people to get, you know, start. It's really in, you know, in the spirit of not just Christmas, but how do we give all season? So we created a moniker, Giving Has No Season. And our goal is throughout the year, we want to highlight culture. We want to highlight different stories. We want to take our character as Black Santa and make him a narrator, a curator of all, unlocking all of these cool stories from different people, their heritage, their culture, their Christmas, their New Year, right? And an honor and celebration of that. Sorry.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying this because he's here. I've been covering the NBA for 20 years.
Yeah.
And the person I'm least surprised wants to bring smiles to people's faces, this guy right here. Because he's like always like the happiest dude ever. Whenever he was playing the game, when he was around the game, when he was with the media, like, he was always such a good dude to be around. So I'm not surprised at all that this is what you're doing. And I love the fact that you're giving back to the community the way you are.
But while we got you here, Baron, been talking about this quite a bit here today. Love you to jump in on the conversation.
He wants a take from you now. He's going to want a hot take.
Did you follow what happened to the Lakers last night?
No, what happened?
Oh, you're going to love this. Let me tell you. Let me set it up for you.
I was calling the Clipper game last night.
I was there at the Warrior-Clippers
game. Yeah, I called that.
All right, so here, I'll just
shout out to Clipper Vision, Baller Vision.
Yeah.
You can catch me on Baller Vision.
There you go.
You know, just swipe.
There's like seven different broadcasts. Clipper Vision.
Yeah. You do, just
Baller. Yeah, we have it. It's Korean, Spanish.
Yeah.
And then we do ours, the players. So I was
there's like multiple languages, right?
Yeah.
And multiple aspects of it.
So just swipe, because that's really, you know.
Just go to Clipper Vision, Baller Vision, or my Twitter.
All right, so here it goes. So while you're calling the game last night, Lakers lose in Houston.
Uh-huh.
Anthony Davis doesn't play.
He's not playing on back-to-backs.
Okay.
Organization made the decision. He don't play on back-to-backs.
Uh-huh.
But you're desperate to get into the playoffs.
And he says he's paying. The coach says he's paying for it.
And you're playing against one of the worst teams.
That's what his issue is.
And by the way, you had a 35-point lead at halftime two nights earlier against New Orleans. So what do you think about a guy like Anthony Davis with the Lakers where they are right now?
They're in the 10 spot.
Not playing. And by the way, it being an organizational decision. What do you think?
Then it's organization. I mean, you can't be mad at Anthony Davis.
No,
I'm not mad at
Anthony
Davis.
No.
It's, you know, are the Lakers the same Lakers? You know,
oh,
it's like,
here we go. He's
that's,
right.
That's, it's, you know, when you think about basketball, you think about tradition, you think about history and legacy, you know, if Shaq didn't play, and the organization held Shaq back then, getting ready. You know, remember Shaq got hurt, and everybody in L.A. was just like, he does this every year, you know.
I love the voice that
very good.
To it.
The media's like, he does this every year.
Bill Plaschke, he's talking about you.
Bill Plaschke, I'm definitely talking about you.
That's why we don't talk to the media.
I'm going
to
tackle Bill Plaschke when I see him.
Oh, you're not that guy, Baron. You're
He's
a lovely
guy.
Take him down.
I am going to tackle
him. Take him down.
But in a loving way.
I mean, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Spear
like
him.
Like a loving tackle.
Yes.
No. No.
Yes.
Don't
like
do
a
it.
Football tackle.
Spear him. Like
so
Goldberg.
Go ahead. Back to the media voice that you were doing about Shaq. Go ahead.
But, you know, when you think about Shaq, he had a few years where it was like, yo, like he's a big dude, his foot.
Right.
You know, and, you know, media news is media news. I'm not sure. I feel like maybe the organization's plan backfired.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it was like when you're looking at a game like that, you're like, all right, back to back. Okay, you've already prepped for this game. Right? So mentally, you can't be like, oh, AD, you about to show up and play, because you probably 2 weeks out looked at this game on the schedule and said, okay, win. This is a difficult game.
Right.
Right, we have a back-to-back. Let's get this. We know we can save AD for the last stretch.
Yeah.
Right, but we should be able to win this Houston
game. Yeah.
And so you're the organization is going in saying we should win that game.
Right.
Because
they're not good.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Now
yeah.
That overrides everyone.
Mm.
The coach, Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
The team,
right.
Whatever the need is,
yep.
Like nobody can put him in. Nobody has the authority to put him in the game.
Last thing before we let you go, since it is March Madness, this man
played
on a team
yes.
in the NBA
uh-huh.
that to me was like the equivalent of a March Madness, even though I know they
what are we talking,
were
like Charlotte
extreme.
Early?
No. I'm talking about the
Cleveland?
We Believe Warriors. Okay?
Oh, okay, the Warriors.
1 vs. 8, Dirk yep. Nowitzki is the MVP of the league, and I have never seen an 8 seed be as confident as that group was
yeah.
in beating down the Mavericks the way they did. That was one
Thank
of the
you.
Most fun series I've ever seen. Take me in the mindset, since we're in that stage of the year now where upsets mm-hmm. were happening. What was it like then before we let you go?
You know, we had all the momentum going into the playoffs. There was a game that Dallas was second to last game of the year.
Right.
Dallas comes to Golden State. Dallas just beat the Clippers, so it put us like a half a game over the Clippers. If Dallas beats us, the Clippers are in the eighth seed.
Right.
And we're going home. So, and we had won 17 out of like of the 20 games.
Right.
So we just put ourselves in a good position. It was like, win or lose, this is our playoff game.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dallas, number one team in the league, they came to Golden State. And they sat all their guys.
Right.
Ah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
They sat all of their guys.
Because they wanted to play you.
Because, obviously.
Yeah.
Right. And so they felt like, all right, we want Golden State, so we'll just lose this game so they can be a game up on the Clippers so we can give them a nudge. Now, all day, right, because every day we're fighting for our, you know, our positioning,
yeah.
seating. The day we wake up, it's all over the media that Dirk is out. Josh Howard is out. Jason Terry is out.
Right.
So I'm waking up like, okay, it's cracking. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm about to go home. It's like, it's make or break. It's do or die. So everybody on our team is waking up knowing that all the pressure is on us. Not them.
Right.
You know what I mean? And when they didn't show up, we were so upset.
Yeah.
We were disappointed. We were upset. We were just like, wait, what? Like, we want the, like, put us out.
Right.
Like, don't
we
do
want
us
the smoke. A, right.
Man, don't do us no favors.
Yeah.
Come over here, put us out.
Right.
Because we want to see what we made of.
Right.
Right. And when they did that and we won, then all we have to do is win one more game. Soon as we won that game, we had 2 days off, the first day of practice, usually we come, shoot around. Nelly goes, everybody, sit down. I've never seen Nelly so clear and focused. He sat he sat everybody down.
Yeah.
And he said, before we start practice, you know we're going to beat them, right? And he's like, number one thing, don't say anything in the media. Praise them in the media. Don't give them any ammunition. But just know that we're going to beat them.
Right.
And he looked at every dude. And we were like, oh, yeah, we know that.
Yeah.
And he knew. It was like he walked in with all the cheat code.
Right.
And he was like, this is how we're going to beat them.
Yeah.
Dirk, we're going to do this. When he spins, somebody's there. Howard, when he goes and he spins, we're right there. Jason Terry, make him go left. Everybody else, stay in front of him.
Right.
We will beat them.
Yeah.
They will wear down. Dirk will get frustrated first. Josh Howard will get frustrated first, then Dirk. But if Dirk can't figure it out, we got a chance. And so before the game even started, we were so confident that all we was doing is watching tape and be like, dude, all right, Jack, you send them right. And that's how Steven Jackson wound up on Dirk. Smaller, just as strong.
Right.
But he can force Dirk, cut him off, and force Dirk to spin back to the middle.
Right.
Anytime Dirk had spun, you would be taken out the game if there was not a double team on the spin.
Nelly was like, forget it, you're out.
Yeah, you're out.
Right.
You will not play if you do not get there on Dirk Nowitzki's spin, because he loves to spin
and
to his one leg.
High leg kick, right.
So get him going right. As soon as he starts to spin, he shouldn't be able to turn around.
Right.
And so once we were able to do that and show success, then we kind of knew mentally, like, they couldn't guard us.
All right, I got one last question. We have 20 seconds. Tell me about the dunk in the series.
That was the Utah game.
Right.
Yeah, he winked at me. Andre Karolinko, he winked at me. We were up by a lot. I laid the ball up, and he winked at me like, dude, if you do this again, you know, like, I'm going to send it to the I'm going to block it, to the stands.
And then you went and got him.
So I went and did the same move, and I was like, damn, dude, if I go, he's going to block it. But I knew I jumped before him.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I was like, if I get up before him, like, I got him. I'm going to try him. And so I got up, and then it was just like, I didn't even know I made it until I looked on the bench and I saw dudes on the team like, oh, my God.
I mean, I still see that video online, and it's like you're back here. Like, it's insane. Yeah. Like, so you win Dallas, you get in that series. That was the highlight to me of that entire playoffs, you guys winning that series and then that dunk there, man. But always a pleasure to see
you. Man.
Tell people on the website one more time.
BlackSanta.com. Yeah. Check us out.
And the Bo Jackson gear, too.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's Raiders, man. We got Jimmy G. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You almost had Aaron Rodgers. I mean,
I ain't really worried about Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like he needs to go somewhere else.
Okay.
You know,
Jimmy G's won some games with your coach,
Jimmy
too.
Jimmy G is a bona fide star.
Yes, sir.
Right? He's a leader.
Yeah.
You know, and I think for the Raiders, they needed, you know, some new leadership. They needed some charisma.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We needed somebody like Jimmy G to be able to, like, you know, command attention.
Yeah.
Right?
He looks the part for sure.
He wants the attention.
Yeah.
Right? He wants the attention. He's not deflecting the attention.
Yeah.
We are the Raiders. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We wear eye patches. We paint our faces at the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
wear shoulder pads and spikes.
You're in the black hole with them, Baron?
Sometimes.
No way.
Yeah, I'm in the. You don't know it's me.
Oh, okay. Oh, because
I'm the dude with the scarecrow mask. Yeah.
I took a picture with you one time. I didn't know that was you.
Baron, you're the best, man. Thank you for stopping by.
Baron Davis.
All right, let's take a quick break. Coming up next, we'll get back. To the Lakers.
What are we getting back to?
Oh, actually, Aaron Rodgers. You and I need to get back to Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, all right.
All right.
But that was fun.
Balake's not going to join us.
That's because he's in Vegas
partying. And he's getting drunk, basically. Yeah. So there you go. All right, so we're back in a couple minutes.